Light in our salvation, may the light and peace of Jesus the Christ be with you today. Well, good morning, you beloved community. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ. I am so glad that you are here. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister of this congregation. Those of you who are joining us online, of course, welcome to you. You long-timers, so glad to see you again. And if you're visiting with us for the first time or for the 10th time, welcome back. We're so glad for your presence, too. We have a full Watson family here today, just about, a nice contingent. So good to see so many of you today. Welcome. Glad to see you all. Well, you might see up on the screen in just a second some cards. If you want to fill some of those out, please. Blue ones to let us know you're here. Those pink ones are celebrations, prayer requests for our shepherding team, and those yellow ones to send out some encouragement to folks who might be having a birthday this Friday. They might appreciate receiving one of those yellow cards, perhaps. I don't know, Glenn. Thank you. That's right. It's your anniversary, too. That's right. But we know the ranking order in that, though, Steve. Yes. Well, we're so glad that you're here today. We have a beautiful service planned. Let's begin, as we typically do, with our call to worship. Would you stand, please? This comes from Psalm 31, starting in verse 1. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Let's worship in song together.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and to his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. You may be seated now.
Say a prayer. Yesterday, I want to tell a story. Yesterday, I went to see my cousin's front room. She was the last of the last of the last of my auntie children. And the pastor said, do anyone want to get saved? And I looked around and ain't nobody stand up. But this one person, and he came off the street and he said, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. So people ask, how come you get saved when you're at a funeral and you're not at church? And I say, I don't know, no, but God knows everything. So I want to pray for everyone that's looking for salvation. I want to pray for the women's, because Mother's Day is next week. I always remember that. So let's pray. Father God, we come boldly before you in front of your throne, Father God. You said in your word, salvation is free, Father God. Father God, as we stand here today, you woke us up this morning, you laid us down at night. Father God, I bless all the mothers, Father God, on Mother's Day, Father God. Father God, I know you taught them well. You know, it started from generation to generation, Father God, and you led it up to us, Father God. Father God, we had to pass it down, Father God, to our children. So, Father God, when I heard that yesterday, I seen that young man got saved yesterday, Father God. It make me want to do better, Father God. It make every one of us in this church want to do better, Father God. And Father God, you know, Pastor Steve, he always preach on salvation. But it's always free, Father God. You don't have to pay to get into heaven. You just have to ask God for their salvation, Father God. You know, Father God, your word is mighty and powerful. It's sharper than anything in the world. This tongue, you speak it, and it's come to pass. So, Father God, I speak, Father God, that this church and this other church that's going to be combined together, that you bless it, that you cover it with the blood of Jesus. And, Father God, I thank, Father God, that people are going to be coming out the streets and looking for salvation, Father God. So, Father God, let's pray that everyone say thank you to you, Father God, because you woke them up this morning, you laid them down last night. And, Father God, without you, we cannot do nothing, Father God. We are strong, but your word are stronger. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
The last several weeks, we have read aloud together in different ways our call and our challenge from 1 Peter 4 Today, I'm going to ask that you would receive it quietly, silently, where you are sitting. On slide 5, when it turns yellow, I think it's in yellow, but slide 5, we will read that aloud together, but I will spend enough time on each slide for you to receive it. If you have young ones who are not quite of reading age, you parents are certainly welcome to whisper this text into their ears. So let's read this quietly, and again, slide 5, we'll read it aloud together. Join me, please. Power and glory belong to him forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe, that will not murmur or complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll tasting here the hallowed bliss of an eternal home.
Morning. I'll be reading from 1 Peter 2, verses 2 through 12. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, and you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, just as predicted. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the Gentiles that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify the God on the day he visits us.
All right, our young friends, if you would like to join Miss Brandy and Ellery back at the Roots table, you can do that now. So glad that you are here today. Alex, thank you for reading this morning, and Jesse, thank you for praying, and Larry, thank you for leading us in song. I appreciate that. Last couple weeks, we have been right here in 1 Peter. This series is stemming from the previous 3 or 4 months where we have moved from hospitality through Lent and through Easter, and now we've opened up this ancient letter known as 1 Peter to see if there might be anything in it for us. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first part of chapter 1, praise be to God anyway, and practicing resurrection here and now. Last week, how to love one another, these spirit-led characteristics that continuously unfold within us and within the church as we pay attention to them. Next week, a breathing hope, followed by God's care for you to close out the letter. Today, we are in chapter 2, what Alex just read for us, which we'll get to in a moment. Let's pray together, please. O God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? For it's through Christ and because of Christ we pray. Amen. Back in January, Chelsea and I were driving through the vast city of Giddings, Texas. Population 4,969 at last official count. We stopped, as we are apt to do, no matter the town, at an antique store, perusing shelves of dusty wares and vintage trinkets, hunting for items that would catch our eye. It's not a hobby for everybody, I know, but growing up in the Sargent household that practically swam in antiquities, I had no choice but to have an attached fondness for things older than myself. Chelsea did not fully know what she was getting herself into when she married into the family, but in the course of time, she has far surpassed me in her desire to find retro pieces that need a good home such as ours. My daughter, meanwhile, has recently learned that antique means 100 years or older, and vintage means anything 40 years or older. Based on my age and Chelsea's age, we are now vintage and highly collectible. At this Giddings antique store, we had not bought anything, nor would we, but I did snap a picture of something I came across. Turning the corner near the exit, I saw what I have increasingly seen in antique stores. Stacks of old black and white photos of persons and families stuffed into boxes and baskets dating back to the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I have a double fascination with these kinds of pictures. First, why are they in an antique store? I know why they're here. It's because the faces of these people are separated from their names, just like ours will be someday. No one knows who they are or were, since they are all long gone by now. The photos were picked up cheap at an estate sale or an abandoned home and brought here to the store to make a buck. If there were any remaining family to claim these folks or their pictures, then their printed likenesses would not be sitting in a basket in Giddings, Texas at this very moment. Hardly any of the pictures had written notations on the back identifying who this is, where they're from, the year, those kinds of things. Perhaps a little research could put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but honestly, who has the time? My second fascination is that their stories, like their names, have disappeared. They are forgotten. As I pick up a pile of pictures and rifle through them, I cannot help but wonder, what was life like for them? What job did he have? Was he married? Did he have kids? What made her happy? What made her laugh? Did they take family vacations? Was church a thing for them? What kind of adventures did these kids have around their neighborhood? What lies did they grow up believing about themselves? What wounds did this guy carry? What truths did she discover? What did she hope for? What's the deal with the dog and his arms? If that's her aged grandmother standing next to her, when was she born? Is that a Buick Roadmaster in the driveway? I've only purchased one such picture before in Galveston, Texas, of all places, of a 1920s Summer League baseball team made up of men stationed in Alaska. You see 1925 hugging that bottom left-hand corner. I just couldn't let that one go by. I had to have it. I also have it with me if you want a closer look a little bit later. But I confess, when I see pictures like these in Giddings, I've wanted to take them all home. Slide them carefully into an album, place it on our coffee table, and whenever guests come over, show them what or who is in there. I'm not sure Chelsea would care too much for random pictures all over the place. Plus, you know, there's the issue of space. Back to the basket. Other than the man with a glorious mustache I could only dream about, it's the sign, of course, that caught most of my attention. Choose an ancestor. It was intended, I am sure, as a bit of ha-ha humor, and it is funny. Pick one, spin a tail, and miraculously share DNA. This right here is my great Uncle John. And let me tell you, he could build anything, a rocking chair without using a ruler, a fire, using wet wood, a shed, using leftover boards. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The last few weeks, reading through 1 Peter, we've talked about how the original readers were an ostracized and harassed people, not necessarily through state-sponsored persecution, but by commonplace rejection and relegation. No longer did these small clumps of Christians in remote areas engage in the recklessness that they once did before they came to love Jesus. And while that brought all sorts of joy and a new community, it also brought with it the removal of securities they previously enjoyed. They are no longer protected by the customary bonds of old. Friends, family, colleagues wonder what has gotten into them joining this strange cult. They're viewed as unsociable, out of touch, disagreeable, unpatriotic, a threat. Moreover, the mainstream of their culture at large did not accept them as they once did. That culture, with their caste systems, with their Caesar as God and king, did not fit the church's purview anymore. What fit was claiming that a dead man no longer was. But that didn't matter too much in the court of public opinion. As a result, the huddled groups were ostracized and harassed. They suffered. Peter wrote to them and said, "Yes, this was always going to happen. Looks like we're going to have to figure out how in the world we're going to live on the margins." It's from those margins that Peter also says this, "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people. You are God's very own." How might a message like that affect the marginalized readers? It would have meant everything to them. You don't have to choose an ancestor. You are the one being chosen to carry on a holy lineage. We do not choose. We are chosen. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once stuffed into a basket, nameless and forgotten, another impersonal cog in the economic and categorized wheel, but now located, bought, kept. Tasked with the vocation of proclamation and witness and testimony of moving towards God's glorious light, given a place of beloved honor. It's quite a reversal for the shunned and the snubbed. It's also exactly what Jesus himself experienced. He knew a thing or two about rejection and harassment. He was the living stone the workmen threw out, because he didn't fit the mold of what power and strength should look like. Yet through resurrection, he became the chief foundation stone upon which a new kind of kingdom is built and held together. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You belong to God. Regardless of how the world treats you or sucks you dry or lays claim to your wallet or spews nonsense about your gender or your worth or your age, God is especially fond of you. Peter knew. You know. I know that there are times when who and what is around us will try to persuade us differently. There will be teachers and preachers and politicians and personalities and friends and subliminal messages everywhere that will at every opportunity try to convince us otherwise. And sometimes, or oftentimes, we believe it. We fall for it. But Peter says, no. You are chosen by God. You are already God's special possession. You don't have a single thing to prove. You, because of Christ in you, have moved from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. I love this little prayer by Macrina Werdurker. She says, "Oh God, help me to believe the truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is." How great is that? Here's one thing you can't do. Start looking at it as me is in and you is out. Us in, them out. You, being a chosen people, does not give you permission to become elitist, standoffish, or pride-driven. There is no time for any of that. It's absurd to start doing the same thing that others do to you. That's what you used to do when you did not know any better. Rather, as we assert the truth of our chosenness, we find within ourselves a desire to relay to others their own chosenness and their value, their beauty. As Henry Nouwen reminds us, that's the great surprise and joy of being chosen, the revelation that others are chosen too. There are many mansions in God's house. What difference does it make if we actually believe that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you belong to God? It's because it's the only identity that matters. And only by believing in that can we live on the margins as aliens and strangers, as exiles in a land not our own, as present guests in the world but not of it. As aliens and strangers, we are free to live well and whole. Since God is for us and not against us, we are capable of saying no to the trappings that eat away at our souls, and yes to the plethora of gifts that feed it. We can be unafraid to take a stand or a risk, to welcome the insider to the outside, to care for the neighbor who does not look like you or act like you or think like you or love like you, and let them care for you. We are able and empowered to live such good lives that though you'll be accused of tolerance and heresy and dissent and stirring up unneeded controversy, they will give praise to God and join in the celebration when God arrives. Think about that. That your good life that centers around the life of Jesus leads others to glorify God in the end. What a wonder that is. If we are going to choose an ancestor, then let it be as a reminder that we do not walk this strange and beloved path alone. There are people in this very room who teach you that faith shines brightest when it is expressed in love. There are countless people we knew who are no longer with us, but they made sure to tell you exactly who you are. And there are multitudes of people we will never, ever know the names of, who delightfully, yet imperfectly, passed on the truth to us that we are beloved. And you get to pass that on to your children and to your children's children until you fade away as well, not into oblivion, but into the heart of God who calls you chosen. So, church, says Peter, crave God and God's goodness. Just like an infant craves her mother's milk, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Seek out the nourishment that God generously provides. Draw near to Jesus again and again, that living stone who was rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones yourselves, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus the Christ. That is why we as a church can read aloud this part right here in yellow. Read with me. Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. And so together we can say, or we can type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we sing together.
Are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. be unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praise is glory and glory be unto your name, be unto your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name, be unto your name, be unto your name.
Beloved community, come and eat. It's for you, it's for us. This bread and this cup, it speaks to Christ in us, Christ in each other. So we share together today with great joy and gratitude. As we do here at Southwest Central, I'm going to ask for a couple of folks who would like to share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large. You can just come forward and join me up front, and we will share that with the church. Let's pray together. Jesse, you can come on forward. And let's pray now, please. All praise and honor and glory to you, O God, for the ways that you keep loving not only us, but your creation at large. So we pray, as always, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We give you thanks also for this bread and for this cup, which remind us distinctly that Christ lives in us. For it's through him that we pray. Amen. All right, we now have an opportunity to give because, of course, we ourselves have been given. So we have Glenn and Larry, you're good, to walk around, and they're going to bring around some offering trays if you have something to put in there, a contribution, a tithe, maybe one of those cards from earlier today. You can place those in there. And as always, thank you for giving to the work that goes on here at this congregation. Let's pray together, please. And we also thank you, God, for the work that you are doing among this congregation, and we pray boldly for more of that. So would you bless not only the gifts, but also the givers today. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dan, I'll take care of the slides for here on out. All right, we have a couple of family matters to share with you. Last couple of weeks, we've talked about our sister Lois Odin, who turns 100 years old at the end of this month. And for now, in lieu of a big party, the family has asked that folks, maybe two by two, or maybe three, would go over to Lois's house and share a meal with them at lunchtime. In your bulletin, hopefully, that's her caretaker, Carlos, we know and love. His phone number should be in there. If it's not, you can ask King for that number. He will coordinate that all. But I know several of you have already gone, and thank you. I appreciate that. And if you would like to do that, then please, please do. All right, Thursday Bible class. This is the last semester meeting before a summer break. The class, of course, has been talking through 1 Peter also during these last couple weeks. This is the last one until September, I believe, Thursday, 10:30 a.m. in person and on Zoom. And here are Bible classes all over this building, and we sure hope that you stay and be a part of one of these smaller connection groups when we dismiss from here. All right, one more thing to share with you before we do our benediction and sending out. I wanted to let you know that 5 years ago today, on May 7th, 2018, King Mbani took the job as ministry assistant at Southwest Central, and he just ducked underneath that cabinet back there. For 5 years, King has done so well. He has grown into the job, and probably a better way to put it, the job has grown around him. We are a better congregation, not only because of his work here, but more so because of his life among us. Amen? What a gift that is. So this morning, we're going to embarrass King and celebrate him. So King, please join me up front. Thank you. And timing-wise, this is perfect because Mercy just got back right here. Mercy just got back from Nigeria a week ago, and you're here today to celebrate your son, so we're so glad for that. It's actually been a bit over 6 years since King has worked here. In March of 2017, King took over for David Lewis, who had to move to Waco for health reasons, you may remember. King, in place of David Lewis, set up communion for us. He made coffee, he turned on the lights, he got the ice, he unlocked the doors, those kind of things. But it's the 5 years that we're celebrating today. And to do so, I've asked a couple people to speak. I've asked Brandy McDaniel, you can come on up here, and Ruth Noel to come on up here. And then I'm going to say a few things, and then Jessica Vaughn. Jessica partners with King and myself up in the teen area. She's going to offer a prayer and blessing over you. So I'm going to ask Brandy to go first, and then you're second. Okay.
When my time was winding down in the office 5 years ago, I told Steve that I would help him find someone to replace me in the office. And kind of for a couple weeks, I had been bouncing around King's name in my head, but I didn't know King super well. I just would have told you he's a good kid and he's smart. And I didn't know if that was really enough, I guess. And so Steve came in one day, and I remember he was leaning against the cabinet, and he said, "Have you given any thought to who could work in here next?" And I said, "Maybe." "Who do you think?" I asked Steve, and Steve said, "I've kind of been thinking about King." And I said, "Me too." And that seemed like a good sign that we had both independently been thinking about King, and so I guess the process went on, and King agreed to serve, and then he came up for a week, I guess at the end of April, that I was going to train him on being in the office. Monday and Tuesday went great. Kids today, they know how to use all the office products and things like that, like Excel and PowerPoint and all of that, no problem. Wednesday is mail day, or it was when I was in here. The newsletters, the receipts, the yellow cards, I would send them all out. And as we're going through it, King says, "So where do the stamps go?" And I said, "Well, they go in the top right corner, and the address goes in the middle." And he's like, "Okay, okay," I'm showing him. And then I set the mail in the little outbox. And he says, "So what happens with it now?" And I said, "Well, the mail lady is going to come pick it up." And he said, "So she comes on Wednesdays?" And I said, "She comes every day, King, except Sundays. And she leaves the mail." And it was clear that this just wasn't a process that King had ever been a part of. This kind of blew his mind, how the American mail system worked. And so as I left, I kind of had two questions I was going over. One, how did he not know how the mail worked? And two, are there other big things he needs to know that he doesn't know? And I realized it was perfectly reasonable that he didn't know how the mail worked. He had no occasion to need to mail a letter. You don't even need to mail things to get into college. It's all online. Okay, he hadn't been taught in school, that's no big deal. Secondly, he already knew everything he needed to know because he's a kind and loving and patient person. I know a lot of you have been up in the office before, spent some time up here, so you probably know that a lot of days it's really quiet, even lonely. And then there are other days that you cannot predict when everything comes at you at once. Steve is out of the building because he has a meeting. Christmas is coming up and you're ordering the poinsettias. Somebody from the church is up here and they need to make copies or they're looking for some supplies. Other people, it's like a beacon went up in the neighborhood. Everybody in the neighborhood that needs something comes to the door. There are people you've never met before who are in such great need, they won't leave the office until they get to speak personally with the minister. They are your problem right then while you're just trying to get the copier to work. And on those days, it's helpful to be a smart kid, but you don't have to be. You just have to be patient and kind and loving because you are the face of the church and you are the face of Christ. And I knew that King had that. I knew he had that because he learned it from his family. Thank you, Mercy. And he learned it from this church. Thank you, church. So it's been 5 years. Raise your hand if you get mail from the church and the stamp and the address are in the right place. Raise your hand if you have come to the office in need and been met with the love of Christ. You have blessed us, King. Thank you.
Good morning. It's hard to say anything now because she said it all. But King is like, once I was lost, but now I'm found. And the church found King at the right time. Because we know he was lost because he wasn't in this church. So we know he's found because he is with us now. King, God bless you. You come to the church, and when I come and the kids come, they have water in the car, but we're going by King for water. They don't want water, they just want to see King because King has this pleasant smile. And this pleasant way that he greets people. And if I say no, Bella will hide the water just for them to go down there to just to see King. We come here, when I come, I look for King there. You don't see him, you know something is wrong. King, what a blessing. God bless you. May the Lord be with you. You are a blessing from God, and may God always bless you.
All right, we're about halfway done. We good? Okay, you're doing great. Thank you, Brandy and Ruth, thank you. Here's a fun way to start a sentence. Although King may cringe when he sees it, here's one of my very first pictures of him. You are about 12 years old here. You are a new transplant to Houston, Texas, having just moved here from Nigeria. And that day, Chelsea and I took a miracle, King's sister and King, to the Hobbit Cafe. And we all shared a meal together. And I think this is you took that picture. And I don't know if y'all were happy about that or what, but you did it, and we appreciate that. And now, 12 some odd years later, we get to show it. That was the purpose of that picture, apparently. So you're 12 or 13 here, not young, no longer a child, and not yet an adult. Through middle school and high school, King was a vital part of our youth group, as many of you know. Classes, summer activities, camp in Abilene and New Mexico. I beat him in ping pong nearly every single Sunday. And when he graduated, we celebrated him publicly then too. And from then on, it just wasn't the same in the teen room. As Brandy already shared, when he transitioned out of the teen room and he took over for David Lewis's job, and then she was going to leave, and we discussed who could do it. King, indeed, was that person for both of us who, at 18 years old, seemed to be a natural fit, and that has proven to be true. It's proven to be the case. So this picture right here is probably better representative of who you are. This is from our treats, Halloween event that we partner with Willow Meadows. This is just from this past October. Here is King working behind the scenes, his kind and warm and Christ self, big smile on his face. King is so good in the office, y'all. He cares deeply. He gets things done. He's ready to help. He takes over the things that I don't want anything to do with. He does those for me. He blesses the many. And he still unlocks the doors and makes the coffee and sets up communion. I don't want to think about having another person in the office other than him, though I know that someday it will happen. I'm extremely thankful for today, though, and for our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Thank you. Well, before Jessica comes, you can come forward, Jessica. There are quite a few people in this church who got together a little financial gift for you. Those folks will remain anonymous, but that is for you. So when you look around, you may be able to guess who gave something. But just know most of all that these folks love you and value you as you are. So thank you, King. So. All right, since I know King, I know surrounding him and laying hands on him is not the best idea, but you can stand. Let's do this as our prayer, as our benediction today. Whew, nice. The three of us, and Mercy, you can come forward. We will pray over King. Join us in that prayer, and then we will be dismissed in peace and purpose. Let's do that now, please. Yes, ma'am. Please, please, Mercy.
Good morning, church. I thank each and every one of you to allow a total stranger, somebody you don't know from anywhere, to serve your church. A son of a low state. I thank each and every one of you. I refuse to take any glory for King's life. Michael and I has nothing to do with this. He was born like that. We were talking about choosing. He was choosing like that. King started preaching at the age of 5. I'm surprised that now King cannot even preach again. Because he's a shy person, so he can't face people. But I am grateful. Thank you for your prayers, your contribution, and the trust that you have on him. Thank you. I bring you greetings from Nigeria. Thank you so much.
King, are you ready to finish this?
Yes.
Father, we come to you this morning in gratitude of someone who came, you brought to us as a child, and now has become one of the cornerstones of our community. I have watched King grow. He was in my class, and now we're partners together, and I am so grateful for that. He has been a constant in the team class. Lord, when I think of King, I think of your Apostle Timothy, full of vibrant energy, bringing energy to not only the class, but also to every interaction he has throughout the week in the office. I am grateful to know him. I am blessed to know him. We love you, Lord, and King, 110% of the time shows that love. Thank you for bringing him to us, to each of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Hi. I'm not as shy as people think. I just want to say thank you to everyone. It's a pleasure working here. I'm still here. Everyone here has blessed me in one way or the other, and I'm very thankful. God bless you all.
Say hi to this person.